Welcome back to Nancy AF. This is Nancy Anderson, and today's podcast is just for fun. I'm going to be sharing my experience with QHHT, which is Quantum Healing Hypnosis Technique. Yes, I was hypnotized last week, and I had so many messages asking me to share my experience with the hypnosis therapist and my journey during that. I was going to do it on stories, but honestly, it's way too long for that. And I feel like I need to explain a little bit in kind of like set up so you guys know what I'm even talking about. For those of you that haven't had maybe a lot of experience in this. So I'm putting it on my podcast. Now, I just want to say right now, if you don't like hypnosis, if you think that it's playing God or something or whatever, I got some messages and I didn't really read them, but general sense, people had a problem with it, and that's fine. If you have a problem with this, just don't listen to the podcast. This podcast is only for the people that wrote me, which was a lot, that were like, this is so fascinating. I'm so into this stuff. Please, please, please share. I want to hear about it. This is for them. Okay. And full circle with what I do for a living. Listen, I understand. And even my husband says this. He's like, you're so into science. You, everything that you do, every plan that you create is based off of research. Yet you are into like all this spiritual stuff. And I'm like, yeah, true. But like, we don't have research either way. We don't have research to say that we just don't have the research. Like, so this is truly up to your interpretation, I think, of what life is and how the subconscious and conscious mind work. And I was going to take some time before I did this podcast and actually pull research, because there is some that talk about different things that could help support my case or whatever for why I do this stuff. But like, at the end of the day, it's like, doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't really matter. Why I'm into spirituality is because this is what resonates inside my body as being my truth. And it makes me feel good. It helps keep me on good, healthy, productive, successful paths in life. I see psychic mediums because they help guide me. I resonate with them. It feels like home to me. I'm a very intuitive person. I've seen ghosts before. This whole world of whatever is so, it just feels right. It makes sense. It clicks in my brain. I don't need research to back this. I'm never gonna go out and sell a spiritual program. If I did do that, obviously, just like all the other things that I sell, it would have to be backed by research. But this is something on the side that has nothing really to do with anything I'm making money doing, or people are paying me for services. This has nothing to do with that. But how it does correlate with what I do for a living, or which is my lifestyle, basically, because I definitely practice what I preach. I walk the walk. I don't just talk the talk. Is optimal health. And that's really what I focus on. So, you know, my goal is not just to help my clients look good in the mirror, although I do want that for you. If you want a six pack, I want to help you get one. But my real goal is to help people thrive. And that's what I work for myself. I don't want to be just healthy. I want to thrive. I'm living to 120, guys. And like, that's how I treat my body. That's how I treat my mind. And one of the big things I've been working on, the last piece on my puzzle that I haven't quite gotten, and I said this last year, if you follow me closely, is managing my stress and managing worry and anxiety around my children. That's, I struggle with postnatal anxiety. I'm not depressed. It's not depression. It's straight up just fucking anxiety. And it's not, it does not serve me in any way, shape, or form. Connecting with myself through hypnosis, through psychic mediums, through meditation helps me, and there is research to back this, manage my stress and anxiety. And I was going to pull, you know, research on all that, but like, I don't need to. I don't need to. And maybe I will. If this is super interesting to everyone and you guys really like this stuff, like, I'll be happy to do that for you and really break down how meditation affects us on a cellular level and how meditation can affect us on a hormonal level, and can affect your cortisol levels and, you know, your gut health and literally everything else, because there is research to back that. And hypnosis is sort of a form of meditation. So it really is all connected. What I'm saying is, I know that some of you guys think I'm out there. And like, to be honest with you, I kind of am. But that's where I want to be. I want to be out there because it makes me feel good inside. It helps me manage my stress and anxiety. That is the final piece for me. I practice what I preach. I thrive. I have optimal health in so many ways. But what brings me down, what is my roadblock, is that. And I've done a lot better job of managing my stress. I'm trying so hard with the anxiety and worry thing. I'm trying so hard. And it's definitely improved quite a bit. I have more work to do, though. I'm going to be honest with you guys. And that was kind of the reason why. Well, I'll get into that in a second. But first things first, let's talk about what I did so you guys can understand what it is. Okay. So all this information I pulled off of someone's website who does this technique. He's a therapist. I will cite the website in my show notes. I don't have it in front of me. But quantum healing hypnosis technique. Okay, this is when you can get someone in a very deep level of relaxation, which is called, in science, it's called theta wave brains. And on this level, the surface mind is said to shut down and makes room for what they call the real you, which is the higher self. It is the state of the divine truth and the state of pure consciousness. Now, next question, what is the higher self? Right? I actually had this question too. I asked her this. Like, I know, I hear about it all the time. I talk about it. I believe it and like whatever. But I want to know, what is it exactly? Like, what is exactly the higher self? So, Dolores Cannon, who came up with this technique, she was like this hypnosis that has written like 17 or 19 books or something. Fascinating books. If you're into this kind of stuff, start reading it. Dude, Keepers of the Garden, get ready for your mind to be like blown, okay? Anyway, I'm like on her fourth or fifth book right now. It's so fascinating. I'm going to read all of them. Okay, Dolores Cannon, so she called the higher self, this divine entity, she called it the subconscious because she didn't know how to call it or what to call it when she contacted it for the first time. But you may call it the higher self, or people in different like religions will call it different things, like Nirvana Sutra, I think it's called, or like the Holy Spirit, I think Christians call it. It is a part of you, a part of your metaphysical identity. It is your connection with the divine, your connection with the source, or, you know, people call the source other things like God or whatever. I don't even want to get into religion because this is not a religious thing at all for me. But it's basically this part of yourself that holds the answer for like all the questions you have. It holds all the information to the events that happens in your lifetime, this lifetime, and other lifetimes. Now, let me just stop right there because I believe in I believe in multiple lifetimes. I think I've lived thousands of times. If you don't believe in it, I totally get that. Who knows who's right? I guess we'll see like at the end of this thing. I totally respect, like, I don't think my husband believes in multiple lifetimes, although I tell him about it all the time, you know, like, in my last life, I don't think he believes it, and, like, doesn't bother me, because I have no, like, we don't know, like, there's no proof, is what I'm saying, but, like, how do you connect to the higher self? Okay, so they say that you're always connected to your higher self. Communication's always done by like the energy of thought, dreams, or events. And sometimes like things that you call like a coincidence or, you know, how you sometimes do, well, I don't know, maybe not everyone thinks this, but like sometimes a thought just like pops into your head. And it's like almost like the answer to something. It's kind of like that. But you can stop interfering with it and listen better through meditation. This is when you shut down like the surface thoughts, or you shut down your ego, basically. And through QHHT hypnosis, apparently, they say you can get even more into that. The higher self is able to connect through your body and then answer your questions. This sounds crazy. I know this sounds crazy, you guys. I know. But this is happening with your own permission. So basically what it's like is having a conversation with yourself inside your head. But there's two people inside your head, but really it's two just like entities. It's your ego that's on like the left side. And then, wow, that's so weird. I just got that. That's so weird. When I was in hypnosis, I kept, oh, that's so funny. Because on the right side is supposed to be your higher self. And on the left side is supposed to be your ego. But when I was in hypnosis, that's so crazy. Because all the higher self stuff, I was hearing in my right ear, on the right side of my brain. And now that all my ego stuff I was hearing on the left side, wow. That makes it seem a lot more real now that I think about that. Okay. Now let's also talk about past life regression. Because that's going to be involved here too. A past life regression is a hypnosis technique, which is part of this QHHT that helps people tap into information of past lives that he or she lived. Once we get there, everything is clear, kind of like a lucid dream. So once they get you into this like hypnosis state, everything just seems like you're almost dreaming, but more than dreaming, like your real senses and your real feelings are present. It's just hard to explain. It's kind of like this amazing spiritual journey, honestly. Especially when you pass like a moment of death and then you're able to understand the spiritual world, which I didn't actually experience that, just so you know, but apparently you can do that. So how does this technique help people? So the most important thing about QHHT is that helping you discover your true self, which is really why I did it. Once you come, apparently, I'm reading off this website, so this is not my own thoughts. This is what this hypnosis therapist is saying. Like, once you come to the realization that you know your true self and you are your true self, then many difficulties and phobias will go away. The most important emotion that can drive us these days is fear, which is the opposite of love and is also just like a low vibration feeling. And through this kind of hypnosis, we can find the main source of fear and remove it completely with the help and love of your higher self. Also, many discomforts in your body that can do damage long term can be completely dissolved. QHHT can also help you understand the course of your life and adjust it to the real purpose that you have chosen. Isn't that cool? Now, you may not believe that that's all like even possible. But you have to really, I feel like you have to like go through it to like really understand it. Because like as I'm reading this right now, I'm like, I feel like you guys are just probably like, what the? Okay, so basically this was my experience. Now, my dad died in 2005. He committed suicide. It was a difficult time, to say the least. And I never really thought too much about like death, or I never really like woke. I think my dad died woke me up. And they say like your awakening, your spiritual awakening. Do you guys know what that is? Like a spiritual awakening? I actually wrote down notes on it so I can just like tell you really quick. So what is a spiritual awakening? Real quick. It's the awakening of a dimension of reality beyond the confines of the ego. The ego is our exclusive sense of self, or I. This awakening occurs when, for whatever reason, the ego somehow lets go so that a higher self or spirit can arise within. Now, the ego, or what's called like the lower soul, when it gets a lower vibration part of you, believes it's in charge. The ego is our sense of I. And when you say things like, I am Nancy, I have a business, I have a spouse, I have a child, I have a headache, I think this X and whatever. That's ego. It's possessive because it experiences itself as a separate from everything else. This lower soul is driven by base pleasures. It's also driven by negative emotions like gossip and complaining and negativity. And it's trying to meet like basic human needs. The appetite of the lower soul is insatiable, they say. And if left unchecked, it goes on for eons. Thankfully, there's also like your higher self or your higher soul or your spirit or like your wisdom, I guess that you could say. And this is a divine spark that isn't driven by these basic needs. Instead, this spirit is calm, neutral, compassionate, understanding, and intuitive. While the ego accumulates knowledge through learning, the spirit accumulates reality by virtue of what it is. The ego thinks, the spirit knows. While the ego is always doing, the spirit remains eternally in a state of being. Now, even I've been into this stuff since 2005, even I still don't fully like understand. So if you're like listening and you're like, dude, what the, you know, I get it because I still have like these moments of like mass confusion and these moments where I just go so ego. I just go so low vibration, I guess, where I just am like, this seems so far fetched. Like, I just don't even know what's going on here. But regardless, every time, okay, I've had these moments in my life where I have undoubtedly experienced something where I was like, what? There's definitely like a spiritual realm. And there's like more to life than like just this life because of this thing that just happened, basically. And there's been a lot of those. There are a couple that stick out, one or two of which I'll probably share with you here. But in 2005, my dad committed suicide and I started thinking about death, obviously, and what happens after death and like where the fuck he just went. Like, he just died and he died by taking his own life. So like, what does that mean? Like, is he in hell? Does hell exist? Like, I started having all these questions, you know? And all of a sudden, I, like, cared. I, like, cared about it because I, obviously, my dad, I care about my dad, and I wanted to know, like, if he was okay. So I started diving, like, deep. And I started reading, like, all these near-death experience books. And, like, dude, it just was, like, a spiritual awakening. Like, everything just started, like, making sense, falling into place. Like, it was just this inner intuition where I was like, that's right, that's right, that's wrong, you know? And I... Oh, it just like snowballed. It just like got out of control. And then over the course of the last 14 years, you know, I've sped up my, you know, spirituality or, you know, becoming more evolved in certain parts of my life and then sped it down other parts. And I was like busy, like with pregnancy or like whatever. And I go through like cycles of where I can focus on it more. I have like more time or I have more desire. And then other times where I kind of scale it back. But one thing that's been pretty consistent this whole time is every quarter, at least three times a year. No, it's every quarter. I will see a psychic medium. And I tell you what, guys, it is one of my favorite things to do. I learn so much. It's like going to a therapist that like is on steroids. Like they just, you know, and I love therapy. Like I have a therapist in Newport Beach, Debbie Hensling. She's freaking amazing. So amazing. And I love her so much. And it's interesting because I've never talked to her about like spiritual stuff, but she will say the same stuff that like my psychic will say. It's, and one thing in particular, I feel like I'm jumping all around. I'm sorry. One thing in particular was like, I'm having a lot of issues with one of my parents. I'm not going to name names, but one of them's dead. So let's just do that. And I was just really having trouble, like, tolerating it, the relationship. And I went to a psychic, my psychic, and in the thing, she tells me, you were raised by a narcissistic parent. You realize that, right? And I'm like, no, like, I don't even know what that means. Like, what's a narcissistic parent? And then she's like, oh, you got to Google it, like start reading about it because this is exactly what you're dealing with. And she's doing that off of a picture I sent her, which is crazy. So then I go to my therapist and I didn't tell her that my psychic said I had a narcissistic parent. I was just talking to her, like, I'm really struggling with this relationship, and, like, it just really bothers me. And she goes, sweetheart, you have a narcissistic mother. What? Totally, they were saying the exact same things. One is not a therapist. She's straight up psychic. The other one is not a psychic. She's straight up therapist. And I don't know. There's just been so many things like that that happened in my life where, like, it just, like, makes sense. And then it sends me down this road of, like, healing and acknowledgement and wisdom and growth that has always positively affected me. I've never had a negative experience with any of this stuff, which a lot of you guys are like, I would just be so scared to do anything like that. But I've never experienced anything that was scary. It doesn't scare me. It actually seems like the opposite of that. Like, it seems very comforting to me. So anyway, I've been in this stuff for a long time. I've always seen a psychic. And then I saw a psychic and she suggested, this is like when I was pregnant with Kenzie. I saw a psychic and she suggested that I do a past life regression. I'm like, what's that? You know? And she's like, well, I'll put you under hypnosis and then we'll explore and see if we can, you know, gain some information from past lives. And I was like, okay, like, that sounds good. So she's like, okay, right, come back on Tuesday at 2:00 and we'll do this. It was like $100. I don't know what it was. And that's the first hypnosis I'm going to tell you about, because I think you guys would be really, if you're interested in hypnosis, you've got to hear this story, because this one was intense. And then I'll tell you about the hypnosis I did last week. So, okay, well, first things first, I should tell you the ghost story. I told you I was going to tell you the ghost story. So I've seen ghosts, like real ghosts, and you might not believe me. The thing is, I didn't really believe in ghosts until I saw a ghost, and then I was like, oh, okay. When I was little, I would sense, like, some things in my house, just as a child. And I never really gave it any thought because I just thought I was, like, in my head, you know. But I never saw, like, a true ghost where, like, they look like a human being but see-through. You know, I never saw that. It was more like balls of energy, like, up in the walls and ceilings and stuff. And so, like, I always thought that I was just, like, in my own head. But then my dad died and I obviously was upset. But a year after he died, you know, I wasn't, like, over it by any means. I was, like, in therapy and stuff. But it wasn't something that I was thinking about every day anymore. You know, like, when someone dies, it's, like, you are obsessed with it for, like, a while. And then gradually, like, it fades. Like, it does fade. And you, like, move on with life. It was about a year after he died. And I was in Morgantown, West Virginia, because that's where I went to school. And I was dating this guy. And I was in his living room at his townhouse. And, you know, I hadn't been thinking about my dad. I don't pray to my dad. I hadn't been doing meditation. I, like, literally was just kind of on a hiatus from, like, everything spiritual and was just going to school and trying to get, you know, finish my degree and whatever. And I was at this guy's house that I was dating, and it was just, like, a random, like, Tuesday night. It was, like, we weren't drinking. There was no drugs. There was nothing going on. We were sober as can be. In the living room, and there was this big bay window in the living room, and you could look out into the front lawn, which was, like, a small front lawn. And we sat down. He's like, let's watch this movie or, like, whatever. And, like, we sat down, and literally, like, 10 minutes after I sat down, started watching the movie, like, I was sitting up. I wasn't, like, laying down on the couch or anything. I was, like, sitting up on the couch and was not thinking about anything. Like, literally was just watching this movie, like, almost in, like, you know, you just get kind of in this meditative state where you're just like, duh, like, watching a movie. And then out of the corner of my eye, I see someone. You know how, like, if you're looking straight and you look and you can see someone out of, like, the side of your eye, you can see, like, their figure, and then you, like, turn, you're like, oh, obviously someone's standing there, let me turn and see who it is. That happened. So, like, if I'm in the living room, I'm sitting on the couch, the TV was, like, catty corner to the left-hand side in the corner of the room. So I kind of was sitting on the couch, but, like, turning left a little bit, if that makes sense. And then the bay window was, like, straight in front of me, but I was looking left to the mirror, I mean, to the TV. So the corner of my eye and out of the bay window, there was no curtain or anything there. I was just, like, you know, window. I see someone standing, like, in the window, like, in the yard. And, you know, there he had roommate. He had like a roommate that lived there. And I don't know. I mean, we were like in college and I don't know. It could have been like anyone. So I saw this like figure and I just like turn and like look because I thought someone was like, walking, was going to try to come up to the house or like whatever. It was like one of our friends. Who knows? And I turn and look. Dude, it's my fucking dad. Like, it's my fucking dad. A ghost of him. Head to toe, standing there looking at me. He was in an outfit that he would have worn, like with one of his little like polo type jackets. And he was wearing a hat, this like hat that he was like, I don't know, he kept wearing it. Like, I don't know. He was like, got into hats like later in his life. He was wearing this like, it's almost like a top hat, but not really. It was like a, it's not a top hat. It's just, it was like a hat like that with like a brim. And he was not moving. He was standing there. And it just looked like he was observing, checking in, and saying goodbye. Basically, is like telepathically like what I picked up. That was what was imprinted on me, I guess. So I look over, and my boyfriend was watching TV. Like, he didn't look over, I don't think. I mean, and not to my knowledge, at least. And I'm looking at my dad standing on the lawn, but he's, like, sort of see-through. And I just, like, fucking lost it. Like, I just lost it. I, like, jumped up. I started screaming. I was covering my eyes. I ran to the kitchen. And this guy I'm dating is like, what the fuck is wrong with you, you know? And I'm like, oh my God, I just saw a fucking ghost. Oh my God, he's in the front lawn. Like, he's on the front lawn. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I'm like freaking out, like screaming. And he like definitely doesn't believe me, thinks I'm nuts, tells me to calm down. And he was like a dismissive fucking asshole anyway. He wasn't even like a good person. But, you know, obviously he blew me off and didn't even like remotely think I was like actually seeing something, you know. But I fucking saw him. It to this day is just as clear as it was that day and feels just as real, gives me just as much chills. He was fucking there. And it was the most incredible experience. And I had, after that, I had a couple other experiences that were very cut and dry like that, where it was like, 1,000% this is happening right now. That is a ghost. I won't get into it today, but that was just my first experience where it was like 100% confirmation, like this happened, you know. Sober as can be, 100% awake, sitting up. It was like 8 p.m. at night. It was not late at all. I wasn't tired. Like, there was no other explanation. It was him. He was there. After I covered my eyes, he disappeared for a complete second. I started screaming. I started freaking out. I was like saying out loud, like, don't ever do that again. I don't want to see that again. That was too scary for me. I can't handle that. And for 9 years, I never saw another ghost. For 9 years. And looking back, I regret that because I regret that. I regret that. I shouldn't have freaked out. There was nothing to be scared about, but it just caught me really off guard. I wasn't thinking about him. It was just super scary for me. I feel differently about it now. I don't know. I think that I would not be nearly as scared anymore, but who knows? Anyway, it's never happened again. I think he was still earthbound for a while, kind of like touring or whatever they do. And then he was leaving, like he was moving on and he was kind of coming to like check in one final time and say goodbye. And I sort of feel like I ruined it, but at the same time, like, it is what it is. Like, I don't have many regrets in life. That's one of my regrets, is freaking out like that and shutting that door essentially. Like, I shut that door and didn't want it to happen again. And I kind of regret it. But so that was my ghost story. And after that, that was probably 2006 or 7. And I really believed after that. It wasn't just reading books or whatever. It was like, this is what I saw with my real eyes. There's no mistaking. Like, I'm all in. That was a long time ago, you know, so I had a lot of time to like try different things and do different like meditation and learn and read and whatever. And this is like pretty real to me. So my first past life regression was kind of crazy. I went under. So basically they take you in, they put you under hypnosis. They spend like 15 to 30 minutes putting you under. And they basically get to that theta wave like state. So like you feel like you're asleep, but you're not really asleep. You feel kind of awake, but you're actually not awake. It's just really in between phase. And they keep you in this like phase, which is like crazy. And then they start asking you questions and they'll take you on this ride and you'll like ride a cloud or like you'll do whatever. You go to this happy place and then you open this door and they're like, where are you? And then all of a sudden you just start getting like information. Like you can like see things, you can smell things, you can hear things. It's like insane. So I got taken back to this lifetime. I was not expecting this lifetime to come about. And she's like, you know, look down. What do you see? And I'm like, I like look down and I see like a man's hands, white male hands. And I'm like, I see man hands basically. And she's like, okay, like, what are you wearing? And I'm like, I'm wearing a war uniform, you know? And she's like, what color are your shoes? And I tell her, and what color is your uniform? I'm like, it's gray. And she's like, can you see your reflection in something? And I look at my reflection in something, and I'm a man with, like, brown hair, brown beard. And I'm just like, it's just nuts. The whole thing's nuts. So then she's, like, asking me all these questions, and you go through. And I have a recording of it somewhere. I don't remember where it is. And she's like, do you know your name? And I'm like, I do. And then all these answers are just, like, popping into my mind, but not my – on the right side. It's like someone else is telling it to me. It's not – really so hard to explain, you guys. It's like having a conversation with yourself, but it's like not yourself. And really I think that's like, it's not your ego, it's your higher self maybe, or it was like my spirit guide. I honestly don't know. Anyway, I'm like, yes, I know my name, it's Jack Benson. And I continued to go on and tell her all this information about this life. And she's like, you know, where, do you remember where you grew up? Let's go back in time. You're going to go back in time to when you were a child in 3, 2, 1. You're there. Where are you? And I'm like, I'm in an orphanage. I have no parents. They gave me up when I was born. And I like knew all this stuff. So basically, I grew up in an orphanage. My parents disowned me. When I was 16, I left the orphanage and went and worked in that same town, which was this little town with cobblestone streets. And I made bullets, like, for war. And in the fucking past life regression, I could smell the fucking metal. I am not fucking kidding you. And after I got out, I was like, what were you burning while I was in there? She's like, I didn't burn anything. Like, there wasn't even a candle lit. There was no smell. But I could smell the I could smell the metal in that factory being made. That's what I did. I made bullets. I got like whatever job I could get. I was so lonely in that lifetime. I never got married, didn't have kids. I went to war because that's what I think I had to go to war or something. I didn't want to be in war. I like basically tried to hide like the whole time because I didn't want to kill anyone, and I obviously didn't want to be killed, but I didn't want to harm anyone because I felt like the war was so unnecessary and like all these people were dying for like no reason. And I was like on the battlefield. She took me to the battlefield, the very last fight that I fought on the battlefield. And I could see people dying all around me, you guys. She's like, what year is this war? Now, I'm going to tell you this right now. I was not a great student, okay? In my master's, I was a good student because I cared about what I was learning about. In middle school, high school, dude, not a good student. I did enough to get by. I retained freaking probably nothing. So history dates and stuff, I don't even know. Like World War II, I have no idea when that even was. I'm going to guess and say the 30s. Am I even right? I have no idea. Anyway, she's like, I didn't know when the Civil War was, but afterwards I Googled it and figured it out. She's like, what dates? And I'm pretty sure I said 1843 or something like around those lines. But whatever date I said, I confirmed when I came out, that was right when the Civil War was happening. And like, I didn't know that information. And you could say, well, your subconscious knew it because you heard it in class before. Like, maybe you're right. Maybe that's true. I don't know. But all these other things happened that, like, I just couldn't explain. Anyway, so I was there the last battle. Shook me to the last battle. The war wrapped up. I got out of the war. And then I basically was kind of just mentally effed by the war. And I just, like, it was just a lonely life. But in that life, I had this one mentor who kind of was like a father figure to me, but, like, wasn't actually my dad because my parents disowned me and put me and gave me to the orphanage when I was, like, little. And I was raised in the orphanage from, like, 0 to 16. Like, could you imagine? And so basically I felt, like, really unloved in that lifetime. I kind of felt, like, spiritually, like, very evolved because I felt like the whole time I was in that Civil War or whatever that I knew that, like, this just wasn't the way. Like, this isn't how we, like, solve problems. This isn't how we get where we want to be. Like, I felt, like, very wise, I guess, for the time that that was and for, like, my age, which was, like, mid-30s I was in the war. Anyways, after the war, throughout my whole life, I think, but especially after the war, this one person in that life played, like, a very big role to me, and it was an older man, and he was, like, my mentor in that life, and he just, like, looked after me, and he loved me. He was, like, the only person in that life that, like, loved me, that I felt, like, love from, and he stood out a lot in that life, and I ended up moving, like, to a very rural mountain town, and I built my own house, and I basically, like, lived there for the rest of my life. But close by lived this man, this older man, and his name was Alexander. And she asked me in the hypnosis while I was under if I recognized him and from this life, and I did. I said, he's my husband's maternal grandfather, who actually already had died before I even met my husband. But I, like, knew it was his soul. It was so crazy. So then the love I felt from that soul in that life was, like, so real. Like, in this life, I feel a connection to my husband's maternal grandfather. Not for who he was in this life, but for who he was in that life as Alexander. I know. This is nuts. I know. Anyway, so I feel like there's, like, when you go into a past life regression, I feel like there's one thing, there's a reason why they show you, like, they're only going to show you what they believe is what you need to know in that moment, like, what's going to serve you. And from that whole experience, I feel like what I learned was, let people love you, which I have had a lot of trouble doing, and to help me feel more connected to my husband's family, because it's weird when you, like, marry into a family that, like, you don't even know who they are, and all of a sudden they're your family. It's, like, weird. Like, people might not think it's weird, but, like, it is weird. It was weird for me, you know? It's like, I don't even know you, and now you're, like, my sister? Like, that's weird. But I think that the two reasons I think that life came through when I was pregnant with Kenzie was to help me put my guard down, because I've had a lot of trouble I'm fine now, but in the past, even with my own husband, I had trouble, like, really letting my guard down and being vulnerable, because I'm always scared I'm going to get, like, taken advantage of or get hurt. Not really anymore, but that was something that I used to struggle with. So I think that was, like, an aha moment for that, was to, like, look at this life, this empty life you lived. Like, you wonder why you have those issues. It comes from lifetimes like this, where you were neglected, abandoned, this. And I've had those patterns in this life too, just to a different degree than that. But anyway, it was basically every past life I've ever had has shown me that I need to break a pattern in this life that was from a pattern that was coming from a previous life. And that pattern was basically secluding yourself, isolating yourself from others because you're scared of getting hurt or because you've been hurt in the past. So you put up walls and you put up whatever boundaries and stuff to protect yourself. But really, the reason we're here is to evolve and to love. And if you're only evolving and not loving, or you're only loving and not evolving, you're not really doing, you can't do one without the other, basically. So it was kind of showing me that. And then I think it was showing me a stronger connection to my husband's family because of his grandfather was actually had a soul connection to me, even though I didn't meet him in this life. That was my first past life regression. Very powerful stuff. I could smell things in that life. I could hear things. I could see things. It was so vivid. It was a very long, probably an hour in this one life that she was asking me questions with, which was so amazing. I fell in love with past life regressions after that. Okay, so that was when I was pregnant with Kenzie. And then, you know, she got kind of crazy. I was busy, blah, 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 blah. I haven't done any hypnosis since, basically. I've done meditation on my own, but that's it. So then I started reading Dolores Cannon's books, and I was like, oh, my God, this type of hypnosis sounds really cool. I want to do this. So I found a practitioner that's in Bethesda, Maryland. And I'm going to be honest, on, like, a personal level, like, her specific energy didn't really love it. Didn't really love it, but she was good at what she did. I went in last week. We spent like an hour talking before the hypnosis to kind of talk about my goals. And my goals going in were to try to release worry and anxiety that I have, like, around, you know, my family, and to get like some answers about stuff, like why I was dealt. For example, I just like struggle with the fact that like I did not hit the birth lottery like at all. And it's like I look at like my husband's parents and like they're just like cool and they really love him for like who he is and they don't try to make him someone he's not, you know. And I don't know, I just feel like I didn't really get the best hand dealt when I was born. Like I was born to my dad was like an alcoholic, bipolar, depressed, was not a good dad, fucked me over. He 50% chance of him showing up to come get me, you know, and he wouldn't call. He just like would show up or he wouldn't show up. And I'd be like outside on the steps, like waiting for dad to come take me for the weekend. And he just like wouldn't show up. And that helps you. I mean, that makes you feel like really neglected, like as a 5-year-old, you know. But and then my mom and I don't like she doesn't even listen to my stuff. So that's why I don't have a problem probably telling it right now. And I don't mean to like. I don't mean like exploit like family issues, like my personal stuff, but I don't think you're going to understand my experience unless I kind of say something. So basically I was raised by a narcissistic mother, really is what it comes down to. She's a narcissistic mother, but the kind of narcissist that is like a blue aura narcissist. So like if from an outsider's perspective, they would just be like, oh, they just always playing victim. Poor them. Everything's about them. Everything's about them. Everything's about them. And, like, she doesn't even know what I do for a living. If you're like, hey, what does your daughter Nancy do? She works out. She does stuff with working out. Like, that's all she would know. She doesn't care. She doesn't ask questions. She doesn't care. And it's hard to kind of, I feel like I have no parents, kind of what it comes down to. Like, I am really working on accepting my parents for who they are and for loving them for who they are and forgiving and moving on. And that's just, I've really mastered forgiving and moving on. I feel like in other situations in my life, except with my parents, because I resent them so much. And it's not a healthy way to live. And I want to like evolve as much as I can. And this is like holding me back from evolving. So my goal to going in was to conquer that, to figure out why I was dealt this hand when I was born. Like, why did I choose to have parents, one of which was an alcoholic and committed suicide, and the other of which didn't really like give me what I needed, I feel like. And I wanted to better understand why I was dealt the hand I was dealt. And then I also wanted to try to get rid of this like fear I have of something bad happening to me. So we go in and she's like, okay, talk for an hour. And I basically tell her all that stuff I just told you, but in more detail. And then she's like, okay, I'm going to put you under hypnosis. So like lay down. So I like lay down on this bed and for like 15 minutes, she's like talking. I don't even know what the fuck she's saying, but basically I'm kind of like drifting off, not into like sleep, kind of like sleep, but more like a deep meditation. And I honestly didn't think I was that deep the whole time. Well, really for the first probably section of it, she's like asking me where I am, what I'm doing, blah, blah, blah. And I honestly feel like I'm just fucking making it up. That's what I feel like. I'm just like, this shit's not working. Like, this is all ego. I'm just literally imagining this shit. This is not like anything spiritual happening. But then something started shifting. So first she takes me through past life regressions and she's like, where are you? I'm like, I don't know. She's like, what do you see around you? I'm like, nothing. It's all black. You know, so like my eyes are shut. It's like all black. And she's like, Okay, you're drifting, 3, 2, 1, now where are you? You know, and I'm like, fuck, you're going so fast. Like, I don't know, like, give me a second, you know? And I guess, I don't know if that's how the technique works, but it just seemed all very fast. Like, my other past life regression, she was, like, really patient with my answers. She, like, let me think about it first. But I don't know, I think that this technique is kind of the opposite of that, where it's like, they don't want you to think. They want you to say the very first thing that comes to mind, because that's probably the higher self. But when you start thinking, that's probably the ego, right? So they're trying to get to the higher self. I don't know. That could be wrong. That was just kind of like the vibe I got. So first things first, she takes me back and she's like, you're floating on a cloud. We're landing. And now where are you? And I'm like, there's nothing here, you know? So finally, like, I'm like, I think I see a wooden door. And she's like, okay, well, like, what does the wooden door look like? And I'm like, well, it's like curved at the top and it has like a black handle and there's like lines in the wood going down and it has like a wood molding and it's, you know, brown, like wood color. And she's like, okay, let's open the door. And I'm like, I can't open the door. It's not opening. It's only opening like an inch. Can't open the door. And she's like, okay, we're gonna leave the door and you're gonna bypass the door and you're gonna go to where you're living. 3, 2, 1, you're at your house. What are you wearing? And I like look down and I'm like, I have a white apron on. There's a gray dress. I have black shoes on. And she's like, okay. I'm like, I have blonde hair. You know, I'm like a girl, obviously. She's like, how old are you? I'm like 17. I'm like, I don't even know where the fuck this stuff's coming from, honestly. And I feel like I'm just grasping at straws because it doesn't seem nearly as clear as my first past life regression, which was like clear as day. I believe it 100%. I could smell things. Like, it was crazy. And I feel like I'm just grasping at straws. And she was like, where are you? I'm like, I'm looking at this house. It's like this shack with like a straw roof. And I have a bucket in my hand and it was like a bucket of water that I got from like the well down the street. And I go in the house and it's like this tiny little fucking shack. And my mom from this life is sitting at the dinner table, which was like this like shitty little wooden table. And then I have like a little brother or something that's on the floor playing. And we were like eating peas and meat. And I'm like, okay, this seems like so meaning. Like, why the fuck would I have a past life regression that's like showing me this? Like, what the fuck does this mean? And she's like, well, how are you feeling? And I'm like, I feel bored and unfulfilled. Like, this is so dumb. Basically, all I do all day is fucking take care of this shitty house and, like, make dinner for everyone. Like, this is stupid. And she's like, okay. And, like, her, she did not have, like, a good sense of humor, like, at all, by the way. And I wasn't, like, cussing or anything because, like, it was, like, my higher self, I think, talking. Like, it wasn't, like, my ego. My ego is the one that's down here, like, dropping F-bombs, I think. But this is essentially what was happening. I'm just summarizing it for you guys. So then she's like, okay, we're leaving this lifetime. We're going to another lifetime. 3, 2, 1, you're there. Where are you? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, you're moving too fast is what I'm, like, essentially thinking. But I'm just trying to, like, answer her, like, imagine, and give her the first answer that's coming to mind. So then she takes me to this wedding day. So then I'm at in a different life of mine, in a wedding day. I'm in a white dress. I can't even see who the husband is. But she's like, how are you feeling? And I'm like, I'm feeling unfulfilled. This is an assigned marriage. I don't love this person. Don't want to be here. I feel unfulfilled, essentially. Empty inside. She's like, okay, we're going to leave that life. We're going to a different life. And I'm like, I'm kind of thinking, like, my ego is kind of thinking, like, the left side is like, wait a second, bitch, don't you want to explore this a little bit more? Like, don't you want to see who the husband is? But she didn't do that. She just kept fucking moving so fast to the next life. And I'm just like, I feel like I'm on a fucking roller coaster, just holding on, just like my skin's being like blown back. I'm like, ugh. Like, that's what I kind of felt like, because everything was just moving so fast. But I think in real life it was moving slower, but it just felt like it was moving fast. So then we're just like, we're going to a different life. Where are you? And I'm like, all I can see, it's like I'm in a dark room and there's like a vanity. There's this makeup vanity that had electricity, like light bulbs on it. And I'm sitting at the vanity brushing my hair with this like old time like brush. You know those like bristle brushes that were like, you know what I'm talking about, your grandmother like had one. I'm brushing my hair with that. I have blonde hair. I was a woman again, but different lifetime than the wooden bucket lifetime, because I had electricity in this lifetime, and in that lifetime there was no electricity. So I'm sitting at the thing and brushing my hair, and in my ego, like, my left side of my brain is thinking, like, this is so fucking pointless. I'm not going to get anything out of this, and I spent fucking $500. I'm not getting anything out of this. Like, these stupid lifetimes are lasting like 30 seconds, and it's literally, I'm getting, the lifetimes are like nothing, you know, they're like meaningless. So she's like, okay, you have blonde hair, blah, 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 you're sitting in a whatever, you're brushing your hair, like, how do you feel? And I'm like, I feel bored and sad and unfulfilled. And she's like, okay, what do you do in this lifetime? I'm like, I'm a wife, but I'm just a wife. And my job is to, like, be really proper and to do what other people say. And I don't like it. And she's like, okay, great. We're moving on. Now we're going to talk to the higher self. And I'm like, wait, wait, wait. Like, this is it? My past life regression's over. Now we're moving to the higher self to ask questions? Like, are you kidding? But, you know, I'm like, basically asleep. So, although, like, I'm kind of having these thoughts, I'm obviously not verbalizing anything. I'm just, like, going along for the ride. Like, all right. So, then she's like, okay, now we're going to connect with the higher self. And this is a whole little spiel she has about connecting with the higher self. And I just want to have permission to talk to the higher self. And I'm like, oh, here we go. Now I'm going to be making up answers. My ego is just going to be make up answers about, like, whatever she's about to ask, which previously I gave her these questions. Like, I want to know why I was dealt this hand at birth. I want to know how I can get rid of my anxiety about something bad happening to someone in my family. I want to, whatever. And I'm just thinking I'm going to be making the whole thing up, basically. But I'm like, whatever. I mean, I guess I just have to bite a bullet on this one and, like, chalk it up to, like, not a great experience, because I just don't see this going well, right? Like, I just feel like I'm not even under, if that makes sense. Like, I feel like I could open my eyes, like, boom. It's like if you're sitting here listening to this podcast and you close your eyes and just start talking. That's kind of how I felt like. I felt like I could just, and then if you open your eyes right now and you're just, like, awake, that's how I literally felt the whole time. I felt 100% awake. Like, I could pop my eyes open at any time without issue, and the whole thing would just be like a fucking scam, you know? But I'm trying so hard just to, so I'm doing, the whole time, by the way, I'm doing diaphragmatic breaths, like pretty much every single breath, which if you do that for like a long time, dude, you calm down. Like, it, talk about controlling like cortisol and stuff, like, holy shit, like, you'll feel so calm. So I'm basically doing my C-section breath, which if you've done my stuff, you know my C-section breath. And so she's like, ask permission to talk to the higher self. And I'm like, you know, I'm talking like my voice, and I'm like, yeah, like, you have permission. And like, my ego is like, what the fuck is this? And then she starts asking questions, and I start talking in third person. What? I'm like, she really is struggling with this, and this is why. And what she needs to do is, and I'm talking to myself about myself in the third person, which I didn't even realize was even happening until after the whole thing was over and she pointed it out. She's like, I always know when I've accessed the higher self because you start talking in third person. And I'm like, what? So anyway, she asked me all these questions. I have the questions right here. Maybe I should like pull them up. But the main things that I wanted that probably I could share that would like make the most sense. I asked about career stuff, obviously. My higher self for the career thing told me that I'm not focusing enough on C-section recovery, and that's a really big part of my job this lifetime, is to drive awareness to the importance of C-section recovery and the whole process of C-sections and how women feel way too guilty and struggle mentally and blah, blah, blah. And I did a good job of like putting information out there, but I haven't continuously been educating on it. And that's what I need to do, because it's like the whole pre and postnatal thing is like my mission this lifetime, but the C-section thing is like a huge part of it, and I need to bring more awareness to it. So that was what she said. She said, and when I say she, I'm talking about me, really, which is so weird. So I asked about that, obviously. That was important. And then I asked about there being another child for me. And, like, I just didn't get the answer I wanted. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't fucking get the answer I wanted. What I wanted to happen was to see a picture in my third eye of what the child would look like if it was a boy or a girl. And I wanted a hard yes or no. I didn't get that. What I got was, there's always going to be another spirit that wants to come through for her if she gets pregnant. But that doesn't mean she has to have it. Okay, great. Thanks a lot, guys. Not what I came here for. So that was a little disappointing, but you can't really pick what they're going to say. They're just going to say whatever they say. Okay, so then I was asking about issue with my childhood. Okay, why do I have basically the parents that I had? Like, why did I get dealt this hand? Like, because I believe that before you come to Earth, you pick your parents, and you all set up, like, I'm going to be your child. You're going to be my mom. These are the things we're going to work on this life. This is what I believe. So I wanted to know why I picked mine, because I just felt like if I would have had, like, a different situation, that, like, I could be like, better. Like, I don't know. It's hard to explain. But I feel like I just had, like, I was really dealt, like, a shitty hand, if you know what I mean. Although I'm not saying, like, I know people are dealt way, 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 way worse than I had. I'm just, this is just my own personal thing. So it was really interesting when my higher self or whatever came through and was talking about why I had to go through what I went through in my childhood. So this is, it's hard to say this without, like, going into too much detail about, like, backstory stuff. But basically, obviously, my dad was, like, not a good dad. So, I mean, I love him and I forgive him. And he was, like, funny and smart and athletic and, like, the life of the party, like, super outgoing, like, cool, good looking, you know, like, a good body, all these things. But he also was, like, a depressed alcoholic that was not a good dad to me most of the time. Like, he would just disappear and, like, not be around. He missed basically anything important that happened in my life. He just, like, missed. And he would say he was going to show up, didn't show up. He was just unreliable. Like, not a good dad. One time he moved to Florida and didn't talk to me for 2 years. Like, fucking just rude stuff. Like, that fucks a daughter up, you know? And I spent a lot of time in therapy, like, getting over that stuff. And then, of course, he, like, committed suicide, icing on the cake. Thanks a lot, Dad. But I just never understood why that happened. So, like, that's kind of my dad's situation. He didn't come from a good family, like, either. And then my mom, I love her. She was a single mom. Like, she took care of me. I'm really trying to accept her for, like, who she is, which is a blue aura narcissistic mother. And my goal is to, like, figure out why I was dealt that hand. So what my higher self said, which was something that I would never fucking ever, ever have thought. So the lady, the hypnosis is like, okay, Nancy wants to know, like, why she was dealt the hand that she was dealt. Like, why was she born into the family she was born into? Why wasn't she born into a family with, like, parents that were supportive and, you know, married and no abuse and no suicide and no neglect and whatever? And this is what my higher self said. She said, I guess she's a she, I don't even know. She was like, Nancy thinks, or she said something like, I haven't recorded it, I should have probably pulled it up, but she basically said that the reason why I chose all of this and everything played out exactly how it was supposed to play out before I came into this life, I chose my dad as my dad, I chose my mom as my mom, and I chose the way things were going to go, how my childhood was going to go, everything that was going to happen to my dad, I knew coming into this life, and I chose it because, and this is where my past lives that I saw that I thought were meaningless came into, like, the full circle, because she has been living unfulfilled, unhappy lives where she hasn't, I don't want to say amounted to much, but, like, she hasn't done anything significant. And in order to, like, get basically a fire under her ass so that she can achieve in this life what she's supposed to achieve, she knew that she had to pick a really aggressive hand to experience early on in life in her childhood with her dad and her mom and the dynamic so that she would have the drive to achieve what she's achieving and to do what she's meant to do this lifetime. And more than that, more than the success of what my mission is in life, which I believe is to really help change the game in pre and postnatal fitness, nutrition, lifestyle, and just the way the standard of care is and all that stuff, empower women to basically thrive, is that she knew her husband, like she also chose the husband she was going to marry this life, which is Max, and he had a cycle in his family that had to be broken, and he was the person to break it. But he wouldn't have had the strength to break the cycle in his family unless I showed him that strength. And I wouldn't have gotten the strength if it wasn't for what my dad put me through, basically, and the dynamic I had from my parents growing up. I'm like, what? And like, I'm not going to go into like everything because I'm only going to share like what's appropriate, but that is like so powerful. So basically what they're saying is like everything was mapped out before we came. I had the free will to change it once I got here, but I didn't. I stayed the course. I stayed the path. I went through what I went through in childhood, not only to fuel my drive and ambition to get where I am today with my career and where I need to go with my career, which I still have quite a lot to do. And not only that, but even more importantly than that, it was to give me the strength to then, when I met my husband, show him that strength and influence him with that strength so that he would have the strength to break other cycles that were happening in his own family so that it wouldn't continue on to the next generation, which is my kids. Which was so crazy. Like, I never would have thought that was going to come out. Like, I never would have thought that was going to come out. Like, a connection to Max through, like, my childhood? Like, never would have thought that. That was probably the most profound thing that happened. And I think all the past lives that we went through, the ones that were, like, really meaningful and unfulfilling, was showing me this cycle that I've been living in other lives. Whereas, like, I'm just unfulfilled. I'm just unfulfilled. And I had like easy lives that life. Like, well, not the one with Jack Benson. That wasn't easy. But the other ones I went through in this hypnosis last week was like all these lives where like nothing really happened. Like I had a good mom. I had a good dad. Like my life was uneventful. It was just cruising through. Like I never had a lot of adversity. And I didn't go through any trauma. And therefore, my life was unfulfilled and boring. I didn't accomplish a lot and I didn't really get my soul to the next level to evolve. So I think those like really quick snapshots in those three different lives were showing me, listen, this is a pattern. Here's three examples where you've lived different lives and had the same pattern. And how did that make you feel? That made you feel unfulfilled, unappreciated, like you weren't making a difference, like you weren't accomplishing a lot and you felt empty inside. So that's what taking the easy way, having great, you know, I'm not saying this is my own experience, by the way. I'm not saying this has to do with anyone else's experience. We're all like individual. And this is just how the things have happened for like my soul, I believe. So it was basically, I think, showing me that like, listen, you want the easy way, you've taken the easy way and you didn't accomplish what you wanted to accomplish because like you weren't triggered to have the motivation or like whatever, the passion or whatever it was to accomplish something in those lives to make them meaningful, to make your soul feel fulfilled, and to get your soul to the next level. Therefore, in this life, before you came in, you knew you had to pick something aggressive. You had to put yourself in an aggressive situation. Maybe that means trauma, neglect, disappointment, feeling unloved, because you knew that was for your soul. And this is specific to me, because I know that I am very motivated by this stuff, by the way. I knew in order for you to get where you needed to be in this life, which was to break a major cycle in my own family, to break a major cycle in my husband's family, and to achieve the things that I need to achieve in my career, which I believe is a huge part of why I'm here in this lifetime, is my work and my career. And then obviously to make sure that future generations, aka my two sons, don't continue on poor behavior patterns or, you know, abuse like in my family with alcoholism and, you know, suicide and all these things, to make sure those things didn't continue on. The cycle didn't continue for another generation, because it had been continuing in my father's family for a long time. The abuse, the just neglect, not being good parents, like all these things, to make sure that cycle didn't continue. I needed to have a childhood the way I had it to get my mind right, basically, to get me on course, on path, to make sure that it didn't continue on to my sons, so that my sons will basically start anew, is what I got. So that's basically clean, like this, me and Max are basically cleaning the slate from both sides for our kids to, like, not have anything repeated from, we're the cycle breakers, basically. And you know if you're a cycle breaker in your family, because you feel like you don't fit in. You feel like you're just different than everyone else. You feel like you're the black sheep. Maybe you're the middle child, like I was. I don't know. But, and man, that was powerful. That was really powerful. There was a lot of other stuff that came up in the hypnosis. That by far is what was like, damn, okay. Mm-hmm. Yep, that all makes sense. That makes sense. So it was interesting because, you know, they say don't have expectations going into hypnosis because, you know, you could ruin it. So I really tried not to have expectations, but I couldn't help but compare my experience doing my past life regression in Newport Beach, where I was Jack Benson. I was expecting something like that, where I was going to go in and for an hour or so, for like the whole session, basically, I was going to become this other person I was in a different life and basically walk through that whole life with that person. But that wasn't what happened. What happened, and that's, you know, that's what they say, is like, it never happens how you think it's going to happen. So what I thought was going to happen was that, but I was going to be like a different time, a different era, a different person, a different experience, but it wasn't. I had three tiny little snapshots of different lives, all of which just basically left me feeling empty and unfulfilled. And therefore, when my higher self came through and I started talking to my higher self and were asked, why was Nancy dealt this hand this lifetime? Why was her childhood so traumatic, basically? And they said, think about how you felt in those other lives. How did that leave you feeling? What did you accomplish? Did you get where you wanted to be? No. Made me feel not good. Okay. Well, why you picked your situation this time was because you knew if you picked the easy way out, that would leave you feeling like that. Or if you picked the hard way, you knew that you would be able to accomplish much more. And that made the $540 totally worth it, because I really needed to understand that. I really needed to understand that. And my next step now is to appreciate my childhood for the good, for the bad, for the ugly, for everything in between, and be grateful for it, because it's really why I am who I am today, right? I mean, and I've always known that, you know, the shortcomings of my father has always motivated me to be successful as fuck, so I can throw it in everyone's face. Like, see, I fucking told you guys that I was going to amount to something, you know. That's always really motivated by people doubting me. So if you're someone that like writes comments that like is negative, just know I'm just going to be more, that you're fueling my success by doing that, because I'm most motivated by people not believing in me because of my childhood, just so you know. So anyway, I'm focusing on accepting everyone for who they are in my family and loving them for who they are in my family, forgiving them for, you know, things I think that shouldn't have happened. And that is much easier said than done. And I try to do that healing in the hypnosis, like cord cutting and all that stuff. If you're familiar with it, I'm going to be honest, it didn't work. I tried to cut the cord of like the anxiety stuff, which they said was all stuff stemming back to my mom. It was my mom's stuff and I need to like give it back to her. So every time I think about something like if something creeps in that's like anxious or whatever, I just picture myself like scooping up like a ball of energy and then just like dumping it on my mom's lap and walking away. I'm trying to like, that's my thing. But yeah, so that was the main thing that I got from it was that. That story was the main thing. And then she said a bunch of, I mean, my higher self or whatever, said a bunch of other things. But, I mean, it would just take too long to kind of go through every single thing. But so then I'll just kind of try to summarize this all up because I know this has been long. I don't know. Are you guys even still listening? But it was a really cool experience. I really loved it. When I came out, oh, the other thing was like, oh, she was like, okay, to finish it up, like, do you have anything else to say to Nancy before we like wrap up? And my higher self was like, you've worked really hard to get to this lifetime specifically. You've tried basically to do this a lot of different lifetimes, and this is the lifetime you're actually doing it. So enjoy the ride. And I thought that was kind of cool. And I wouldn't expect that to come out. And I'm trying to think what else happened. Oh, so then I asked why I had to have C-sections because I was like so confused. Like, why can't I have a vaginal birth like everyone else? And my higher self was like, you had to have a C-section because if you would have had an easy vaginal birth, you wouldn't have been able to relate to any of your clients. And this is like one of the main reasons that you're here this lifetime is to be able to like resonate, relate, and help women. You would not be able to help them if you didn't understand what they went through. So you had to go through it. And I thought that was kind of cool. Because I've, like most C-section moms, it in the back of your head, you're like, well, why couldn't I have a vaginal birth? You know? Yeah, so that kind of made me feel good too. And something that I wouldn't expect to hear. But then, you know, my higher self or whatever said things that I totally would expect to hear because I think like that anyway. Like, I'm trying to think of an example. Oh, like we asked the question, like, how can I stay more connected to spirit on a higher level? And my higher self was like, her connection is water. That's what makes her feel connected to spirit the most. But I know that. Like, I already knew that. Like, I've had psychics tell me that before. Like, I go to the beach and I automatically feel like my energy just shoots up high. This is one of the reasons why we're moving to the beach. So, like, there were moments like that where my higher self came through and, like, said something. And I'm like, bitch, I know that. Like, please. You know? But then there was other things like my childhood thing and the connection with my husband's family where I was like, whoa. And those past lives and bringing that all together. Like, that was, like, that's not ego. I never would have thought about that. You know? Like, I never would have made a connection to make something a profound link like that. Excuse me. What else did I want to say? Oh, this is the other thing. So, remember how I said when I started the hypnosis, I was like, dude, I'm just, like, pulling, I'm making this shit up. I'm just, like, grasping at straws. This is so, like, weird. Okay, I did feel like that for, like, the first part of whatever. And then I'm going to say something that's so weird and don't judge me. Then it got to this certain point where like my whole entire body started like vibrating. I'm not even kidding. Like I wasn't like convulsing, but it was like the tiniest little vibrations. Like my arms were like tingling all over. My legs were tingling all over. Like, I felt like I was floating on the bed. Like, at one point, I was like, am I even laying on the bed? Because I feel like I'm floating in midair. Actually, I mean, I didn't say that. But, like, my ego was, like, thinking it. Like, the left side, my thoughts on the left side of my brain was like, am I even laying on the bed or am I floating, you know? And then it just felt like my eyes were obviously shut. But, like, it felt like my skin was, like, vibrantly glowing, like, white crystals. And it just felt warm and tingly and vibrating. I mean, I don't even know how to explain it. But like, and then when I started recognizing that I was feeling like that, I was like, oh, yeah, this is like definitely happening because I don't feel like that. Like, ever. Sometimes, yeah, I just don't feel like that. Like, I just never felt that feeling before where my skin was like, God, it's just so, I can't even explain it, you guys. It was just like an out-of-body kind of experience. And it was just warm and tingly, but it wasn't like warm like temperature. It was like warm like energy. It's like, I can't even, it's hard to explain. But, Okay, so then she's like, okay, we're going to bring you back, and, like, you're floating on this cloud, you're coming back to your happy place, and then, like, we're going to count you down, and you're going to open your eyes, and you're going to be awake, in 10, you're going to do this, and in 9, it's going to feel like you took a great nap, in 6, you know, and she's, like, counting me down, and I'm like, this is so stupid, I'm going to pop my eyes open, I'm, like, basically just laying here with my eyes shut, I'm not, like, hypnotized, and then she's like, and open, and I fucking couldn't open my eyes, like, It was like I was asleep. And then I'm like, wait a second. Like, I guess I really was hypnotized, you know? So then I finally open my eyes. I peel them open, you know? Like, I had been, like, sleeping. And then, like, the feeling that came over my body felt like I was just waking up from a nap. So then I'm like, okay, clearly I wasn't just, like, laying there pretending, making this stuff up with my eyes shut, because I literally just felt like I took a nap. You know, but it was like a really short nap. And she's like, how long do you think that you were hypnotized for? And I was like so out of it. I was like, oh, I don't know, maybe like 20, 30 minutes. And she's like, you were under for an hour and a half. And I was like, wow, really? So maybe this shit was real, you know, like that's what I was like thinking. And then she's like, I want you to sit up and I'm going to review everything we talked about because you're going to forget it easily. And then, you know, we started like talking about everything. And I'm probably forgetting some important things because I didn't listen to the recording of it like right before I shot this. But you guys get the gist at least. And then we kind of reviewed everything that happened. And yeah, it was just like really powerful stuff. I'm going to tell you what, like I really, it wasn't nearly as... Like, I thought I was going to be, like, put under where I had, like, kind of no recollection of what happened. And that wasn't the case. Like, the whole time I was laying there, I could still talk to my ego, which was basically, like, my awake self, I guess. While I was also talking to, like, my dream state, like, my higher self. And I believe it was really connecting with my higher self. One, because I was talking in third person, which is, like, so strange. And she says it's, like, she's done this like 1,000 times, by the way. And she's like, this is like a telltale sign. I know I've connected with the higher self when you start talking in third person and you immediately start talking she. And so I knew that. So that made it feel really real. And the other thing that really made it feel really real was that feeling that I had in my body. Like, that's not normal. I don't have that feeling when I sleep. I don't have that feeling when I work out. I don't have that feeling any time. Like, it was an it's just like not even a human feeling, I feel like. It was just, I felt like I was fucking floating, you guys, like floating above the bed. But I knew I was in the bed in her office. I don't know. I think if you think this whole thing is interesting, that maybe you should just try it and see. But you can't get all fucking worked up and go in there. You got to be super calm, meditate the whole week before, not a lot of caffeine, don't drink alcohol, like don't take any pills or sleep medications or anything. You had to go in like really raw and then do it. And I'll do it again. When I go back to Newport, I'm going to go back and see that lady with Jack Benson. Man, that was crazy. That was another crazy experience. I just love this stuff because I feel like I learned so much. I feel like in that whole session, like, I learned so much. Now, about her, specifically the hypnosis, I don't know. She was, like, talking some shit, you guys. She was, like, she basically was just kind of, like, on a pedestal a little bit, which I don't feel like was, like, very evolved for her to, like, act like she was kind of on a pedestal. And maybe it was just, like, my perception. Like, maybe it was my issue. But she kind of was just like, I'm so evolved that like, I don't like play down with you like humans. Like, I just like do my like high level spiritual shit. And I'm like better than everyone, which is like anti-evolved, just so you know. When you act like you're better than someone, it's like anti-evolved. So, but I don't know, maybe that's just my goal. Like, maybe that's just my perception. I mean, not my goal. It was kind of, like, weird, but I just didn't vibe with, like, her personal energy. Like, she had, like, no emotion, but she was, like, staring me, like, dead in the eyes, but, like, not even blinking. Like, and I was like, hello? Is anyone in there? It was just, like, weird. Like, it made me feel kind of awkward, and I, like, very rarely feel awkward. But then I just tried to, like, shake it off because I'm like, fuck, I'm paying this bitch, like, $550. Like, I need to, like, I need to like be cool with her because if she's about to put me under hypnosis, like God knows what's going to happen under hypnosis. So I just like kind of like shook it off and like got over it. But then after I left and I was thinking about it, like, I don't know. And then when I saw her in Whole Foods afterwards, I just felt really awkward. So I had to like skirt out of there. If you guys are watching my stories, I like mid bite, basically she walked in Whole Foods like after the session. And I didn't want to run into her again because I just, like, didn't feel, like, super comfortable. I don't know. It's kind of hard to explain. She said that she's from the ninth dimension. And I was like, well, what dimension am I in? You know? And she's like, oh, only you, your soul, will know that information. And I'm like, okay. Like, I'm really into spiritual stuff, but, like, I think you have gone one step too far for what I can comprehend on my dimension. So, bye. Good luck with your book. See ya. No, I'm just kidding. She was really nice, and obviously she's very talented. She did a great job, and I did have a really great experience. But outside of her actually hypnotizing me, I didn't, like, vibe with her personality, I don't think, like, that much. So, I mean, the lady in Newport that I saw, maybe it's just, like, maybe this girl was just, like, too high dimension. Not a girl. She's, like, 60. Maybe this woman was just, like, too high up for me. Maybe I'm just, like, too low vibration for her. I just feel like she was casting judgment a little bit on me because I was, like, saying I, like, hate something. And she's, like, hate is a very strong word. I was, like, I know, bitch. That's why I'm here. I'm trying to fix it. Like, okay. I don't know. It just, I feel like her approach to like getting through to me wasn't necessarily the best approach to make a mark, if that makes sense. But she was cool, I guess. I don't know. I'm trying not to say anything bad, but I'm not going to give her name out because I don't really recommend her, I guess. I recommend the technique. I just probably wouldn't recommend the therapist I saw, if that makes sense. So some of you guys are in Baltimore asking me. And it's up to you. I mean, maybe you'll just jive differently with her. She was really nice. Don't get me wrong. Like, I feel bad now. Now I feel guilty. Now I feel like I'm my lower self is like not being nice. Okay. That's all. This was like a long podcast. If you guys want to hear more stories like this, let me know. But I'm sure probably you're like, okay, and I'm good. I'm probably going to plan on doing another hypnosis session in California, probably in October or November. So if you guys are interested, I can share with you. Also, if you're into spiritual stuff, my personal psychic medium is Mystic Michaela. You can follow her on Instagram. I think I might do one of her podcast episodes. She just did a podcast, started a podcast called Know Your Aura. So if you guys want to learn more about that stuff, you should listen to her because she's an actual professional in this stuff. She could really teach you guys some information that maybe would be helpful to you. But in closing, a little different approach today, a lot less scientific, a lot more just like personal and off the cuff and kind of like story time. So hopefully it was cool. I will answer any questions you guys have for me. So just let me know. And I'll see you on the gram.